in celebration of a way. And here we are honoring our pastors for their 19 years. I always fondly remember that time because that was my introduction to Baltimore and introduction to Holy Spirit as well. I remember getting filled with the Holy Ghost coming down for the wedding. I don't know if it was to practice the wedding or for the wedding, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. And my life has never been the same, as you can imagine. But it's just so awesome to celebrate a ministry that has birthed forth and broke forth from a marriage. And a marriage that is truly, truly a ministry. And we just thank God for you. We ask that the Lord continue to bless you, to prosper you.
Amen.
And as spiritual children, we are just so pleased to be able to mature and work that fruit.
Amen.
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 Amen. So, say this with me. These are the words of Pastor Lisa. There is a church.
There is a church
being established.
Being established
in Randallstown.
In Randallstown.
And while it's being established, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit
is hovering over it.
Is hovering over it.
The gates of hell.
The gates of hell
will not prevail.
Will not prevail
against it.
Against it.
We are.
We are
God's building.
God's building.
God's building. Amen. There's a church being established in Randallstown, and while it is being established, the Holy Spirit, amen, is hovering over it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. We are God's building. And so my assignment today is to talk about the habitation of God. The habitation of God. And so as I was laboring before the Lord to see what my topic would be, I have been learning to embrace what someone said about the life of a minister, and that your life is the ministry, and your ministry is a life. And so as you walk your walk before the Lord, it's not separate from what he wants to say to his people. And so as I was preparing the message today, that will go forth today, I just began to observe what had been transpiring in the house. And the very first thing was the children's ministry and the fact that the children are learning the names of God. And so we have covered Jehovah Jireh, we have covered Jehovah Rapha, and we are talking about Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. And when you do the research around that, you see there's one entry of that in the Word of God. It's in the book of Ezekiel, the very end of the book. And so from chapter 40 to chapter 48, the Lord is revealing to Ezekiel, or he's unfolding a vision of the temple of God. And it is a future vision. And it is very detailed, just like the one that he gave previously in other passages about the tabernacle and about the temple. And it is very detailed, 8 chapters that lay out this beautiful temple unto the Lord. And the very last line of that scripture says, the name of the temple is Jehovah Shammah. Mm. The Lord is there. Such an interesting title for this tabernacle, this temple unto God. And if you remember the Ezekiel's temple, there is an interesting picture that is being painted I believe it's Ezekiel 43, where it talks about there's a river. There's a river that flows out from it. Okay? And as you see that river, it's for the healing of God's people. It says that everywhere that the rivers go, there is life. And it's basically heaven coming down through the waters and being a source of life for God's people. It says that the leaves, that there will be trees that grow along the banks, and that the leaves of those trees are for the healing of the nations. And so when we were talking about this river of God, we began to think about Psalm chapter 1, which talks about, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor seeks of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his truth does he meditate day and night. And he will be as a tree planted by the rivers of living water, who bears fruit in season, whose leaf will not fade or wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper.
Amen. Thank you, God.
That as we submit to God, we become that picture that of life, that tree planted by the waters, that our leaves are for the healing of the nations. And so we have been talking about that in children's ministry. And then to top it off, we had our ministry last week with the children, and I was delighted to see the houses. I was just like, okay, that's it. I know the messages, the habitation of God, the houses that the children created that talked about godly character and how wisdom has built her house and hewn out seven pillars, right. And that they were talking about spiritual disciplines and what it needed to be a child of God and to be accountable and to be attentive and to be virtuous. What are some of the other ones, children?
Truthful.
Truthful, right? It's on my keys. Forgiving. Obedient. Having integrity. All those virtues that are necessary to be mature, to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of the people. And so I wanted to park there today and just talk about the habitation of God. In our last lesson, we talked about being sons of the kingdom. We talked about being carriers of his presence. And remember that these attributes or aspects of a child of God are just like facets on a stone. On a jewel that God is creating, and that each one of them radiates the light of God, but they're all unique and they work together. And so even as I was studying, a lot of the same scriptures were coming. I was like, oh, we need to do something new. No, not really. Because they are all one and the same, just a different facet of who God has called us to be. So, let's begin. We're going to go, first of all, to a familiar passage. Thank you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, maybe 19 too. And this is about Simon Peter, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesus was talking to him. He was having a dialogue and a discourse with the disciples, and was asking, who do the people say that I am? And Peter says, you know the story, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood have not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus said, blessed are you, right? And he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when we think about God's building, we know that there is a foundation. That foundation is a rock, a stone. Simon, the name Simon, means to hear. Means to hear. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as Simon heard and declared, he was releasing. And Jesus said, upon this rock will I build my church. The knowledge that, first of all, he was in communion with Father God and was receiving the truth. It says that, what was our scripture meditation in John? That true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. So by the Spirit, he was now receiving that truth from the Lord. And upon that, he would build his rock, his church. Peter means Petra, or little rock. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen?
Amen.
So the foundation is the revelation that comes from the Father, that Jesus is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I wanted to not stay there too long, but can everybody turn to 2 Samuel and talk about this habitation? Like, where did it come from, and why is this something that we need to attend to or think about? And if we go to 2 Samuel chapter 5, I guess I want to give a little background about 2 Samuel. In the beginning of 2 Samuel is in the story of David, where Saul and Jonathan had just been killed. Okay? And David was moving into his kingdom. And so there's a lot that happens in 1, 2, and 3. And 4. But then in chapter 5, David is made king of Israel. But he's not made king without a battle, without a fight. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5, it's not up there, so just count, I'm just flowing. David has a scuffle with the Jebusites. The Jebusites, right? And so, if you remember, in Genesis 15, when God called Abraham into the promised land, he said, I have given you this land, but you're going to have to fight. Yeah. You know, that there are nations that are going to come against you. And so, I'm reading from Genesis 15, 19. You don't have to go there, but he talks about the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and last of all, the Jebusites. And over time, the whole bunch of ites, right? There were battles and there were victories that moved them into the promised land. But the Jebusites were more difficult to dispossess. The reason being was that, of course, they were strong, but then they were also of the hill country. And they dwelt in, and then they had a fortification on the hills. And I know we've got some military folks in the room, and you know how important something of high elevation is in a battle. You know, you can see far off, you have the advantage, you can fortify, it's harder to go up the hill, you know, you have all these advantages. And so even when Jacob came through, he could subdue them, but he could not completely drive them out. And so they were still in the land, and they were still influencing the people of God. Now, it's not my assignment to go through all of this today as far as the nations were concerned, but just note that each and every nation had a spirit, a demonic spirit behind it. Okay, and so the Jebusites, the word Jebusite comes from the word Jebus, which means threshing floor. Threshing floor. And if you think about the threshing floor of wheat, That is where the wheat comes in and then it's beaten and trodden down and smashed down and stomped on. And that is the spirit behind the Jebusites. They want to beat down God's God's people. They want to discourage, intimidate. They bring the spirit of condemnation, guilt, and shame. They have a strong tendency towards rejection. You know, they ridicule and then they reject. The spirit of racism is a good example of the Jebusite spirit, because that's a rejection of a whole nation of people. You know, they taunt and they beat down and they pull down, and they are right intermixed and intermingled with the people of God. And I know that even now we have the influence of the Jebusite spirits even in our own lives, where they're among us. You know, the Lord says that there will be tares that grow right up alongside with the wheat, right? And that you would not even know until we come into the kingdom, right? They'll be on the left and on the right? We'll be separated. But that it just comes in to discourage and to depress and to tread down on the people of God. But who knows, the Lord says that we would trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I thought it was a bit humorous in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 7. It says, "And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, and the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither." Thinking that David could not come in hither. Now, David was a mighty man of God. And I remember how he went up against Goliath, you know, declaring as a boy, "Who shall defy the armies of the living God?" You know? You know? And so he had so much confidence and so much power. He moved with the armies of the heaven, God of angel armies, and yet they would dare taunt David, saying, "You can't even deal with our lame and our halt," ridiculing him, right? And verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David." The Lord will make your enemies your footstool. Amen. Amen. And David took the city and called it Zion. Zion means fortification. It's a stronghold. So basically, he took the hill and built a citadel unto God. And it's also where he placed his throne. Amen. And soon thereafter, he began to bear children. It talks about that in 2 Samuel chapter 5. He took concubines and wives and began to bring forth his children. Amen. So he was getting comfortable in Jerusalem, in the city of David. Amen. And so chapter 6, we have a little bit of an issue there, where the ark is being moved into the city. And you know the story. I know Pastor Larry just preached on it recently. And Uzzah, you know, touched it, and he died. And the fear of the Lord was upon David and upon his men. And even so much so that for a time they put the ark over in Obed-Edom's house, right? Because they were so afraid to transgress the Lord. And then they were very careful as they brought the ark into Jerusalem with worship and with praise. And during that time, that's when Michael decided to despise David, right? Because of his worship unto God, right? So all that to get to 2 Samuel chapter 7.
All right.
All that to get
background.
There.
Right. Backdrop.
But you had to get the background.
That's right.
Especially the victory over that spirit of rejection. Because when I think about that spirit of rejection, I think about the truth of God that comes to each and every one of us. And yet there is something that causes some to say no. That causes some to say no. And sometimes it's the hurt that comes from the atmosphere around that causes a distrust, because hurting people hurt people. Is that you, Pastor Larry? Hurting people hurt people, and rejected people reject.
That's right.
Rejected people
That's
reject.
Right.
And yet, we have been called to receive the truth
Amen.
Of the gospel of our Lord and Savior
Amen.
Jesus Christ, and to allow that to be our foundation stone, the chief cornerstone in our lives, but yet it becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to some because of that rejection. But in chapter 7, it says, "And it came to pass, when the king sat in the house, and the Lord had given him rest round about his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And one translation says it dwells in a tent.
Right?
And Nathan told him to go ahead and do what he wants to do. Go ahead and build the house of the Lord. That is the right thing to do. But then in verse 5, the word of the Lord comes to Nathan. And he says, "Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shall thou build me an house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children out of Israel, of Egypt, even to this day, but I have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle." Amen. And he was basically explaining to David that I never asked for it.
Right.
And I was fine dwelling with the people and moving with the people. It's okay. You know? Let's go down to verse 10. Actually, let's do 9. It says, "And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more before time. And as since the time that I command judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused them to rest from all of their enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house."
Amen.
He will make David the house. You don't have to build me a house. You don't have to build me a great cathedral. I will make you a house.
Amen.
I will make you a house. And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after you, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of the kingdoms forever.
Mm.
I will make you a house.
Mm.
Amen. And so we see this promise. And even as we think of David, as he brings forth his children and the kingdoms beyond David throughout the nation of Israel, even when it was rent, he made this promise to the kings as they came into their offices. If you will do what is good and pleasing and right, then, right? Right? So many times. Even Jeroboam. You know?
Right.
You know, all of them. And he said to Jeroboam, "Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He continued to give that call and that promise. And some of them listened, and some of them stumbled. greatly and cost Israel their sovereignty. Cost them. Amen. God desired to make the people of God the house. Isaiah 66 says, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So we think about the word that was in the bulletin today. Out of all the little places in this vast and beautiful creation, you know, we think about how beautiful the planets are, how beautiful the stars are, how beautiful the earth is, even with all that man has done to it. You know, we think about beautiful destinations, Hawaii, the rainforest. We were just talking about San Diego the other day, how beautiful San Diego is. La Jolla, just the Swiss Alps. Just how beautiful and breathtaking this land is. And how beautiful even some of man's creation are. Some of the beautiful cathedrals that we know of, and mega churches, and even the healer's house. How beautiful the houses where we dwell in right now. And yet, God finds the heart of a man that is yielded to him a more suitable dwelling place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wow. The King of Glory desires to dwell in you.
Yeah.
Desires to rest upon you and in you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. The Second Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of him whose heart is perfect toward him. Amen. He wants to show himself strong in you. He wants to allow the foolish things to confound the wise and take the weak things and the base things, right? And he chooses us to show himself strong.
Yeah.
Amen. Psalm 132 verse 11 says, the Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body I will set up thy throne. I will not only give you a house, but I'm going to give you a throne. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates is where business was transacted, is where judges ruled. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against the people of God, right? Mm-hmm. Upon this rock, upon the fruit of thy body will I set up thy throne, says Psalm 132:11. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children also that shall sit upon the throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. So it's not just a location, but it is the city of God, the people of God, that he desires as his habitation, the fruit of his body. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. We're of course talking about Jesus. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever.
Amen.
The zeal of the Lord, zeal, enthusiasm, will accomplish this. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3 confirm the genealogy of Jesus that traces right back to David through Mary and through Joseph. And it's interesting that Joseph traces back to Jehoiakim, king, I believe, and Mary traces back, no, actually, that's not right. I believe Joseph traces back to Solomon, and Mary traces back to Jehoiakim. Might not be right. Let's look that one up again. Study back up on that one. But basically, as what I made that point to say, as the kingdom was rent, there was a certain king that was dispossessed, or he actually was told that his line would not inherit, but that the one that Mary actually descended from was the replacement. Right. And so it lines up perfectly. Lines up perfectly. Check me later, I'll check my notes and grab the accuracy of that one. So when we think about the habitation of God, we know it's on three levels, at least. Personal, it's personal, everyone. It's corporate, but it's also generational. It's also generational. So let's talk about the personal. John 14, verse 21 and 23 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Amen? Amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. Amen. And the Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." We sing the song, "Jesus, you're my firm foundation." Amen. What did Pam say earlier? There's a God-appointed legacy.
Yes.
It's our firm foundation.
Yes.
And we can stand secure in the word of God. As we worship him in spirit and in truth, as we have that dialogue, as we speak forth and walk out the will of God in our lives, we are become the habitation of the Lord. Jesus and the Father will make their abode with us. Isaiah 57, 14 and 15, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. And that, yes, it's going to cost you. To follow the Lord, it will cost you everything. And there are going to be some things that you're not going to understand, that you wish had gone another way, and that you have to choose. Huh. You have to choose God in every situation, in every circumstance. In fact, you need to choose before you choose.
Come on.
Like, you just need to wake up choosing his will.
Come on.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
Humble and contrite. But he says that he heals the broken heart. And he binds up their wounds.
Yes.
Amen. And even as we are crushed and bruised, he heals.
Amen.
He brings healings. He gives beauty for ashes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Yes.
But we have to trust him.
Yes.
He gives beauty for ashes as we hold our hearts open.
Amen.
And we have to continue to remain yielded and open to the Lord, even when we don't understand.
Yeah.
Even then we don't get it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Revelation chapter 3 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." He is your defense.
Yes, he is.
He is your defense. And as you take the situations in your life and give them to him, he said, cast the whole of your care upon me because I care for you. As you trust him,
yes,
he will be your defense. But he can't defend you if you're defending yourself.
Come on.
Defend you if you're speaking for yourself and lashing out and retaliating, right? Even with the words of your mouth. We can talk about that, right?
Come on.
He wants to show himself strong. And so you trust him with it. You give it to him.
Amen.
And Lord, I don't understand it. I don't get it, but I'm just going to trust you with this because I know that if I stand firm, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said that those that sow in tears, they will reap in joy, bearing their sheaves in with them.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you, God. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. And they that know their God will do great exploits. Amen. And so we have these choices. Peter had a choice. And so I know that's small up there, but you know the story about Peter and Jesus, you know? He was the rock. Mm-hmm. The church was being built upon what he had declared from the Father, and then he begins to turn around a few verses later and rebuke Jesus. Right? And Jesus had to rebuke him and said, you savorest the things of man and not the things of God. Right? You are an offense to me.
Yes.
Right? Because Jesus was explaining to him the walk that he had to walk, the sacrifice that he had to give, the life that he had to sow into the kingdom. And Peter was saying, not so, Lord. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how many times do we do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think that if it seems negative for the moment, then it must not be God's will.
Mm-hmm.
It must not be the path that you need
to
take. Right? And sometimes as you go through is where you see God deliver and go through. And we need to submit to God.
Amen.
We need to submit and give it to him.
That's right.
He says, so for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
For what profit of a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's going to cost you everything. How much does it cost to walk after Jesus Christ?
Everything. Come on.
Everything. So we talked about the personal. Let's talk about the corporate. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:9-11, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed of how he builds thereon. Amen? Because there's no other foundation can man lay than what is laid, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who laid down his life as a ransom for many. So if you're not laying down your life, how are you building on top of that?
Uh-huh. Wow. Say it. Come on.
And some in the body are building everything but that.
Come on.
And they're building up their name. Yes. They're building
Amen.
Up their reputation. And they're building
Amen.
Up with
Come
titles
on.
And degrees
Amen.
And all these different things that are not God's will
yes.
for their lives.
That's right. You're
so if you're not laying down your life, then you're not building, right?
Right.
The right materials.
Amen.
And so verse 12 says, now if any man builder on this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by the fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Amen.
Amen.
If any man will work abide which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward.
Amen.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And even as I'm just reading this, I'm just thinking about motives. Motives. One man could do the same exact thing as another man. And one man, it could be gold, silver, precious stones.
Right.
And for the other man, it could be wood, hay, and silver, because the motives are not right. The motives are not bringing glory to God for the wood, hay, silver. It's bringing glory to the man. And then it becomes defiled in the presence of God. And it will be burned up. It will be revealed.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
16, know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are.
Yes, Lord.
Defiling the temple.
Wow.
Okay, so we're back to personal. We were corporate for a minute.
That's
back
to
personal.
Tight. That's tight right there.
God shall destroy. If any man defile the temple with wrong motives, with wrong attitudes, with building with the wrong materials, like we just talked about Elijah last week.
Right.
You know, even the water was licked up by fire. Like, and the altar, everything. Everything. And yet we are the living sacrifices.
Amen.
Amen. So everything needs to be laid bare. It says, work out your soul, your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And some of us working out our salvation, and we not fear, and we not trembling, and it's not salvation. It's not.
That's right.
Amen. And if I would suggest to you that you fear and tremble now,
amen.
Because it is a awesome thing, an awful thing to fall into the
hands
of
the
living God. Amen. Work it out now, saints. Work it out now.
Yeah.
Work while it is yet day, because
yeah.
Darkness comes when no man can work. Amen.
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 Amen. Proverbs 24 says, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge it shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That gold, silver, precious stones. Amen.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2 talks about more about the corporate. We're finally moving into the corporate. It says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as lively stones, are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. Second Peter, continuing on, it says, unto you therefore which believeth, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner.
Yes.
Going down a little further, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We read this earlier.
Yes.
2 Peter. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. Amen. With Christ. By grace you were saved. And he has raised us up together and made us all to sit in heavenly places in Christ. We are made to sit with him in his throne with the Father, that the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So that we have that place of spiritual authority, but we do it together.
Yeah.
We do it together. Amen?
Amen.
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 So we started off, there's a church being established in Randallstown. And while it's being established, the Holy Spirit is hovering over it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We are God's building.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:10 and then verse 19 as well. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together as a habitation of God through the Spirit. Remember that song, I Pray For You? You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. Right?
Amen.
Amen. We need each other.
Amen.
We can't be built into the spiritual house if one stone's over here and one stone's over there.
Yeah.
And when they come together, they do this. I don't know why I just got that picture of it. They don't even want to be a joint. You know, they're just doing this like magnets. They're like pushing away and we need to conform, right?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And get in your place and not be trying to get in somebody else's place.
Come on.
Right? Because there's a place that's specifically assigned to you.
Amen.
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 Come on.
I don't know why that one went over there. Okay. But we're going to go there. Everybody turn to Psalm 127, because that's a key scripture right there. Almost done. Almost finished. I don't know what that's about. Okay. Now this scripture I didn't understand until day three, yesterday or day four. And it kind of threw me because it's, you know, it's a Song of Degrees for Solomon. And I know that everybody has their favorite book and some books that they put higher than others, and I always have been a little bit perturbed about the Proverbs, because there's so many concepts in one verse, and it goes here and it goes there, and you know, and that's why I talked about this before. I actually have a printout of the Proverbs by topic, because I'm just like, I can't even think straight, because it's like one verse and another verse, and you know, you're talking about this, and very next verse you're talking about something else. And so when I looked at this, I always looked at it in that vein, right? But as we begin to talk about generations, I'm getting it now, okay? Because I remember I said the house is personal. The house is corporate, but the house is also generational.
Yeah.
It's generational. It says, Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of thy youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they will speak with the enemies in the gate. Mm-hmm. You see how it ties together now?
Yes.
It's generational.
Yes.
The Lord told David, out of the fruit of your own loins will I build my house. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build your house.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
You labor in vain. And you can sit up late. You can worry. You can wring your hands over your children and what they're doing and what they're saying and what they're not doing and what they're not saying. Amen? The word says he gives his beloved sleep. He says to rest in me and turn your children over to me, because they are a heritage of the Lord. Amen. And the fruit of his of the womb is his reward to you. Amen?
Very well.
So it's wonderful to have plenty of children, the word says. Amen? Mm-hmm. And that as they walk in the way of the Lord, they will speak with their enemies at the gate. Amen? This Amen. Is the generation, amen, that is chosen of the Lord. First Peter says this, we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I lost my place. Okay. I think about Moses. The Lord's, Moses declared in Exodus, he said, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation.
Ooh, wow.
Amen. Ooh. So this was spoke, this was sung by Moses right after he was delivered from Pharaoh at the Red Sea. You know, they went across on dry ground. Pharaoh and his riders were cast into the sea. And he says, I will prepare him a habitation. But he says something else. My father's God. And I will exalt him.
Amen.
Now, if you think about someone who has a opportunity for the spirit of rejection, it would be Moses. Okay? He did not even grow up in his father's house. Right? Yet, he identified with the God of his fathers. He identified with Father God. He had an encounter with him at the burning bush, and he began to allow him to cultivate his heart and to heal those broken places.
Yeah.
And he declared, I will prepare him an habitation.
Yes.
And so when we think about the next generation, we think about the Lord healing those wounded places in our children. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
In Malachi chapter 3 and 4, it talks about the visitation of God to the people. It's the last chapter in the Old Testament. And verse 3 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come into his temple. Suddenly come into his house, right? But what I notice is that as you read through, he's talking about purifying the people of God. He purifies the sons of Levi. He talks about the sons of Jacob, right?
Yes.
The generations to come.
Yes.
He wants a fruitful line from his people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And chapter 4, verse 6, it says, and he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Amen? He says, I'm sorry, verse 5 says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen.
Amen.
That he wants to bring healing to the families. Amen. He wants to dwell in a house that has been prepared through the generations of his people that are humble, that are contrite, that tremble at his word, and that love him.
Amen.
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 So our reading for today, Pastor Larry.
Yes, please.
What's our Bible reading for today? It includes Isaiah chapter 2.
Right.
So let's end with that.
Amen.
Amen.
And I will say, you know how you talk about the word reading you?
Mm-hmm.
And about the confirmation that you receive as you stay diligent to reading of the scripture?
Mm-hmm.
This was awesome to me, this confirmation,
mm-hmm.
because I'm studying. I was like, well, let me see what the word is for tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, Isaiah 2, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains,
mm-hmm.
and shall be exalted above the hills, and that all nations shall flow into it. Amen. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall come forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. The house of the Lord will be established upon that mountain Zion. And just so you know, Mount Zion is not really a mountain right now. It's a hill in Jerusalem. Yet, the scripture says that it will be built up and be to behold by all the world as the kingdom comes forth out of heaven. Amen. 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 We were singing that with the song of the King today, right? The earth will rejoice and the heavens resound as we worship the King of all kings.
Amen.
Coming. Personally and corporately and generationally.
Amen.
Amen. That we, you will make us, Lord, an enduring house. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we desire to keep your commandments and to walk in your ways. Amen. And so we have a right to expect the fulfillment of this promise. Amen. In the age of great instability in our families, we believe that we will have, and we have, an enduring house.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We pray that the spirit of endurance will rest upon us and will rest upon our children, that we will be able to endure temptations, that we will be able to endure hardships as a good soldier. We confess by faith that we will be able to run with endurance the race that is set before us as we make it all the way to the heavenlies, the heavens. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. So much the character and the plan of God and the purpose of God, which is, even though the purpose of God is all about you and all about building you and edifying you and establishing you and making you all that you can be as an individual, but yet even all of that is not unto itself. Because we are a corporate body. The church of God on the earth is a corporate body. And everything that you come to be as you come into your plan and your purpose of God ministers to the corporate body.
Yeah.
And so you can't grow into all that you are to be in Christ unless you have love and compassion and caring for others, right?
Yeah.
It's not all about you, you know? Even though it is all about you, but it's not all about you for just for you. It's all about you for the corporate, for God's corporate purpose. You know, it's not just about us and me and let me step over you so that I can get mine and, you know, all of that. God's building and God's purpose and God's plan is far greater than any one individual. You know, but yet he'll build. In all that will allow him to build, he will build in you and build you so that you can be a benefit towards his eternal purpose, as it were. And then it's generational also, as Ebony said. It is generational because God just don't care about you. He cares about your family and the families to come, you know, and the generations that are to come. God is not just unigenerational. He's multigenerational. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, not just Abraham, you know, but he is generational.
Amen.
What to do? Somebody send them? And so, powerful message. Thank you that God is building a house.
Amen.
Building a personal house, yes. Building a corporate house, yes. And he's building a multi-generational house all at the same time. Thank you so much, Ebony. Thank you so much for bringing these truths very close and near and dear to us so that we can take advantage of this message. Don't let these words fall to the ground, saints. Hide them in your heart. Amen. Keep them. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anything else? Anybody? Amen. Amen. Any further announcements, Lula? Anything else come to mind, Pastor Lisa? No phone calls this week. We're going to be.
Amen.
That's an emergency. We always take emergencies. We do take emergencies.
Have a safe trip.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Congratulations again.
Thank you. Let us stand.